Send a word of thanks to the Reverend Elliot for the invitation and the welcome along here this evening. And also, I want to say a word of thanks to our brother Philip and to the committee of the Reach for their invitation to come along again to the Sports Fun Week and take part. I have thoroughly enjoyed this week from beginning to end. And I was really enjoying the service there until he called me up to preach. I thought maybe there's a few more things happening. So he caught me slightly unawares there. But it's really good to be here this evening. And I want to pay tribute to all of the folks who have organized the past week. It has been fantastically well organized. And it has been a delight to be there amongst the young people. It's important to note that the Lord has been moving in the hearts of many of the young people. I believe that, and that was evident towards the end of the week. I was just sitting there and counting in my head how many young people were spoken to or counseled at some point. And I would say there should have been maybe somewhere up in the region of 10 that were spoken to at some point in time. Now, although it's a sports fun week, and it is, and the majority of the day is spent through training and teaching the young people in the various sports, and yet there is that devotional time, there is that challenge time. And through that, and through the Word of God, and I believe also through the testimony and the witness of many of the young people who have worked with the young people and children this week, God has been moving. Young people have been watching the Christians around them, as well as listening to the Word of God. And the Lord has blessed all of that. And I think that it's important to see just how God has blessed this particular event over the number of years that it's been running. Our theme for the week has been the theme of sin destroying the lives of individuals. And throughout the week, we looked at particular individuals, and we looked at their situation, and we looked at how the Lord pointed to them, pointed out the need that they had, and how He dealt with them at the point of their need. And really, to go on, the theme of the week has been how the Lord Jesus Christ changes lives. Salvation is a life-changing experience. And what I want to do tonight is very simply, in the closing moments of our service, is to focus and look at that one, that individual, that person who makes life-changing experiences for us. The one who changes our lives, the one who has changed the lives of so many who are gathered in this service this evening. Of course, we are looking at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would invite you to turn back in the Word of God this evening to that chapter which Grace read to us earlier in Isaiah chapter 53. Maybe just while the pages of this beautiful Old Testament chapter are open before us, we could bow our heads briefly in prayer. I would ask you tonight to pray with me. I would ask you just to silence your heart for a moment, not just to listen to me, but to really seek God. Our prayer is that tonight, if there's somebody in this meeting and you're not saved, and even as you've listened to the words of that hymn, Amazing Grace, if you don't know what that amazing grace is, if you haven't yet experienced it, then our prayer would be tonight that the voice of God might speak to your heart. So I invite all of the Christians in the meeting to pray with me. And let's really, at the closing part of this week, let's make this next few moments a time of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for all that Thou hast done in answer to prayer in these last days. We thank Thee, Lord, for the young people who have been counseled. Thank Thee, Lord, for those who indicated the desire to get saved. And we thank Thee, Lord, tonight for all that has gone before in this service. We pray now, Lord, that Thou wilt move. We pray, Father, that Thou would open a channel from the throne of grace into this very service tonight. And we pray, Father, that the person of the Holy Spirit might move in all of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that tonight Thy Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, may be lifted up. We thank Thee that He has said, I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto Me. Draw sinners tonight. Draw men and women, boys and girls, to the person of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many visitors are here tonight because I'm one of the visitors, but I know that there are likely to be a number of people who have perhaps come into the service tonight out of interest. Perhaps you've got a young person sitting down here somewhere and they've taken part in the week and you've come along this week to see them in the service and to see them later on receive their prize and their certificate. And you're all very welcome to be here. Of course, there may be those tonight who come along to Bethany on a regular basis, and it's possible that even though you come along on a regular basis, you may have never experienced what you've heard everyone else talking about tonight. You may never have experienced salvation. You may never have come to that point in your life where you personally have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, what I want to do as we look back at this chapter in Isaiah, I want to very simply present to you the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about the Lord very clearly in this chapter. It's a beautiful painting, a beautiful picture of the Lord. And I want to say to you tonight as we look at it, if I could capture this message just in one sentence, I would say to you tonight that the theme, the message, is getting across the point that the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we read about here in Isaiah 53, the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ took place to satisfy God and not to please man. The life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ took place to satisfy God and not to please man. Now, we, of course, are the beneficiaries because of what Christ did, because of what he achieved. This last week, we've had the opportunity to tell these young people about what we call the good news, the gospel. Because of what he did, many a church throughout this land tonight are preaching a message, the message of the gospel, the good news. There's a way of salvation. There is one who can change a life, who can change a home, who can change a family. But I want you to see tonight as we look at this chapter that what Christ did is not something that necessarily will please man. It's important to note tonight, if you're unfamiliar with Scripture, that this book, the Bible, contains 66 smaller books. It was written over several hundred years. Somewhere in the region of 40 individuals contributed to the writing of it. In many ways, others may look at it and say it's just another old book, but it's not. What makes this book different, what makes this book unique, is the fact that no matter where you read about Jesus Christ. Even though there are hundreds and hundreds of years between the writings, the theme of Christ abounds from page to page. If you take this Bible and you go through it, you will find that the person of Christ is concealed in the Old Testament in many representations. We've read one of them tonight. This particular chapter of Scripture was written about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth. When we get to the New Testament, we find Christ there revealed. We read about him. We read about his life, and we read about how, when he came, he established the church. And this book is an amazing book. I want you tonight to see the person of this book. I want you to notice as we read the first verse, I want you to see the hostility that man has towards him. It's an important point to note. You know, we've come along to church tonight and it's nice to see so many people here. And if you're not familiar with the church environment, well, of course, we sing hymns and there's so many things that go on in the service. You get used to the routine of a service. Some churches, the routine inside the door will vary. But we all kind of know what they expect. And if you're a stranger to church, and you're a stranger to Christ, as we come to the theme of Jesus Christ tonight, I want you to see that it's not important that you notice Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. And it's not important, it's certainly not important that you notice me. But the one that you must see is Jesus Christ. So many are hostile toward him. Here in Isaiah, we read the opening question, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed? We live in an age, in a world, where so many outside the doors of this church and further afield have refused to believe and refused to accept an argument from God's word, which cannot be resisted. So many minds seem to be dulled to the reality of Jesus Christ. We can see the evidence of Christ in the lives of so many people who have been changed. No other explanation can be given other than to see what Christ has done in their lives. This book which I've referred to, God's holy and inspired word, it speaks of him again and again, and yet the eyes of man are closed and their ears are stopped to his name. I want you to think tonight about the hostility that this world has toward him. And I don't know tonight, you know, when you go out of the service, I don't know what you're going to think. I don't know how you're going to feel about it. Maybe in your heart there is some hostility. Perhaps this message is something that will make you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps you'll say, it's not for me. I don't want to know anything about Jesus. Listen to me tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ, apart from all of the other things that we know him to be through the Word of God, he is the most beautiful character. He is the most compassionate. He is the most wonderful. And yet, for some reason, his name is cursed with more than the names of any others. Have you ever noticed how frequently in society today, even on the television set, how often his name is taken and it's cursed with? What a lovely name. The Bible says that his name is above every other name. And yet man has cursed his name. Why is that? Why have they not taken the name of someone else? They've taken his name, this precious name, and they've cursed him. We read, as we go through these verses, of how he has been rejected. Verse 3 reads, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, this world has sought to erase him. Many a person in our society today, many a man and woman and young person in Portadown has sought to erase the name of Christ from before their minds. Captivated by the world and by all that goes on, we try to forget about him and reject him. The gods that man has made are all corrupt. And the men that we've made into gods are all corrupt and perverted. But this man, Jesus Christ, stands alone, stands higher than all the others. And friend, tonight, listen, I want to talk to you about Him. I want you to see Him. It would be my earnest prayer tonight that you would meet Him by faith, that your life might also be changed, that perhaps your family might realize the benefit of Christ in your home. His name is a name that we associate with so many miracles. And yet His life itself is a miracle. Here in Isaiah we read of how the scriptures tell us He grew up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. You know, if we just had a dry bit of ground that never seen any water, we wouldn't expect anything to grow from it. But Christ, out of the dry ground, like a tender plant grows. His life is a miracle. The Creator became the creature. His journey to this earth and all that He is and all that He lived is a miracle. I want you to see tonight that even though the whole of mankind may seek to reject Him, that it could be this evening that God will speak to your heart about Him. That your conscience might be pricked. And that dullness that comes over your mind might be lifted. And I pray that God will stir your heart and stir your mind like 240 volts going through you. You will waken up to the reality of who He is. I want you to notice, secondly, as we move through the chapter, that Jesus Christ is our substitute. You know, there's a string of words here, the word R, O-U-R-R. It's interesting to see how many times those words, that word occurs in verse 4 and in verse 5. We see a journey. If you look at those words in verse 4 and verse 5, we see Christ's journey. It's interesting, you know, when we talk about Him, Isaiah isn't talking about you, he's talking about us. He doesn't say, surely He has borne your griefs. He includes Himself. And He says, surely He has borne our griefs. Friend, tonight, the reason so many young people in this church are passionate about reaching others with the gospel is because of Him. The reason tonight I am driven to come here and talk to you about the gospel message is because of Him. Look what it says. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Come on this journey tonight and see the journey that He made. You see, first of all, we see that He bore our griefs. He lifted them. Tonight, whatever it is that's weighing you down, whatever the burden is that you're carrying, perhaps a burden that no one else will know anything of, young person, older person in the meet tonight, He bore our griefs. I imagine in my mind's eye, as I think of it, just how He lifted up our burden of sin. He took it upon Himself. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're struggling with something that you're carrying, and it's so weighty, you don't think you're going to make the journey, and then someone comes and they give a helping hand, and they just take the burden from you. That's what Christ did for me when He saved me. He took a burden that I couldn't carry. But you know what? Not only did He take the burden, but He went on a journey with it. Surely He hath borne our griefs, and look what it says, carried our sorrows. He went on the journey. He carried our sorrows. He didn't simply just take the weight for a moment, but He continued. He carried our sorrows. Thank God tonight, when the Lord Jesus Christ changes someone, it isn't something that lasts for 10 minutes or 2 weeks. You'll find, if you went around this church tonight, you'll find people whose lives were changed 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and you can go further back. He changes lives. Somebody was telling me during the week, we were coming up in the car, and one of the folks that were with me made mention of someone, a woman who was saved. Her life was changed as a child, and it was over 80 years ago. Because in the journey of our life, He not only takes our griefs, He bears our griefs, and He carries our sorrows, and He carries it the distance. How far will He carry your sorrows? Continue with me, and you'll see that it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. You see, the greatest distance is the distance it takes us to Calvary. The ultimate destination. Friend, tonight, listen. When He took your sins and He carried them, He brought them to the place where they could be dealt with. He took them all of the way to Calvary. And there, as we visualize Him, even through the words of this chapter tonight, nailed to a cross. And we think of the blood that flowed from His head, His hands, His feet. We think of those thorns like 4-inch nails that were twisted together, that pierced His brow. We think about how He hung naked on a cross, humiliated before all the world. God's own Son. And we think about all that man could throw at Him. And all that man could do to Him. Listen. God placed upon Him my sin. He took our sins. He took a punishment that we can't imagine. He carried the burden to Calvary. You continue on and you read here something else about our sins, our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, this week when the young people have been playing football or playing hockey, I'm not so sure about tennis, but there might have been a few bruises there too. And there can be knocks in sport, of course there can, and there's an initial injury and something happens, and well, people get up and they run on, they continue on the soccer pitch or on the pitch of whatever sport it is that they're playing. But sure enough, afterwards a bruise appears, doesn't it? It's a reminder of the injury. And you come off and you see the bruise and you're starting to discolor and you realize you've got an injury. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, bears the bruises, the marks, the eternal marks of the payment that He made. One day, you know, we'll see Him. I know I'm going to see Him, and I know on the authority of God's Word you're going to as well. I look to the day when I see Him face to face. I look into the eyes of my Savior. The Bible tells us that we'll all meet Him. Some will see Him as their judge. And you remember what I'm telling you tonight from God's Word. You'll recognize Him. Because you'll see the marks that He bore on this cross. He still has those marks. You'll see the nail prints in His hands. You'll recognize Him. He bears those bruises and those marks. And then the final hour that we come to, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And it simply means that the divine wrath of God was poured out upon Him in order to make our peace with God. You know, sin is one of those complicated things to describe. Sin We could stay here all night and talk about what sin is. But one of the things that sin does, sin creates that distance between us and God. It creates a terrible difficulty because we cannot have a relationship with God while sin remains. You know, you can go to church. Maybe there's folks here tonight and you do go to church. You might even go to this church. You go to church every week. You go twice a week if you want. You could be religious. But if you're still living without the sin in your life being dealt with by Christ, you can have no relationship with God. You might be the most popular of people in your church. You might be one of the most generous givers in your church. You may be one of the best attenders. But if you haven't had your sins dealt with through Jesus Christ, you have no relationship with God. You know, the scriptures tell us that at the end of time, and I mentioned this in the week past to the young people, the Lord Jesus Christ at the end will divide the people of this world into two groups. And those that are going into heaven, he will bring them over to his right hand side, and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He'll bring them into heaven. But on the other side will be those who are unsaved. And he'll say, "Depart from me." And the scriptures tell us that in that group, there will be hands going up, voices raised, people objecting and saying, "Hold on a minute. Lord, hold on, you've made a mistake. I should be over on the other side. I don't belong here. You put me in the wrong place. I'm a Christian." There maybe will be people there shouting that out who are in this meeting tonight. There may be some Free Presbyterians there. I imagine there will be. And voices that will be crying out, "There's a mistake. You're sending me in the wrong direction. I am a Christian. I lived. I did this for you. I did that for you." And you know what? The Lord will say, "I never knew you." It's easy for us to get caught up, you see, into the thought that we're religious. And there's many a person going around today happy in their sin, comfortable in their sin, and yet they like to think that they're saved. Friend, listen tonight. The sin problem must be dealt with. That has been our theme throughout this week. The problem of sin must be dealt with, and the only one who can deal with it is Jesus Christ, and it must be dealt with through the blood that he shed on the cross. We must be cleansed from our sins. I want you to see finally tonight that God is satisfied with him. I said to you at the outset that the reason why he lived and died, as we read in this chapter, is because he was pleasing God. He did it to satisfy God, not to please man. I want you to see tonight why God is satisfied. It says in verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." Why would God the Father be pleased to bruise God the Son? In God's plan of salvation, Christ is the sacrifice. And all of the punishment and all of the wrath of God was poured out upon him. Listen, we could paint a very vivid picture tonight of the cross. You can visualize it. We can see that ugly scene on Calvary. There are words to describe it that perhaps even with young people and children present, we shouldn't use. Such a horrible, horrendous, ugly, terrible scene. But I want you to know this tonight. If we were there and could see it with our own eyes, we wouldn't see the half of it. We cannot imagine what it was that Christ did. The burden that was put upon him, that was invisible to the eyes of man, that which God himself did in punishment towards him. And as the Savior hung on that cross, he was made sin for us. He bore our sins. And all of the wrath and anger of God for what I did and for what you've done, it was put on him. I have to make this clear to you. If you die without Christ tonight, if you go in to a lost eternity, you're not going to be crucified. That's not what's going to happen. If we focus on that crucifixion and we think of the death that he died is all that we're going to experience, listen, as ugly as it was, as terrible as it was, he experienced so much more that we can't imagine. Each one of us tonight in this service, we deserve the full punishment of God. I realized as a child of 9-year-old that if I didn't trust in the Savior, I was on my way to eternity in hell. Multiply that with every person in this meeting tonight and go around this globe. Eternity in hell. All of that punishment that I should have endured for all of eternity and every other person that Christ saves, that punishment was put upon him on the cross. It would blow our minds. We can't imagine it. And he took that punishment to save us because he does not want us in hell. Friend, tonight, listen. What he did, who he is, it's an amazing story. But I invite you tonight to come and meet him. 2,000 years later, after the event of his death, this same Lord Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And today he still changes lives. And he changes them forever. Last verse I want to speak to you about tonight. That would be verse 11. There's a phrase here. Listen to it. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That word travail, it's generally associated with childbirth. I have 2 children. My wife from time to time reminds me I didn't give birth to either of them. And I know that this travailing in childbirth is something that all the men here have no idea of. They can't understand. And there's such pain and suffering that goes on in childbirth, and we know how dangerous a time it can be for a woman. And God, in his word, chooses to use that term here. Because you see, in all of the suffering that Christ endured, and in all that he went through, he was doing that so that birth, new birth, could occur. So that we could experience a spiritual new birth. And there's folks in this meeting tonight that have experienced it. It's that term that we so often hear used. It's a Bible term. They're born again. Friend, tonight, if you're in this service and you're not saved, then you must be born again. And you'll not be born again by coming to church. You'll not be born again by trying your best to obey the law, even God's law. But only through Jesus Christ can you be born again. It's a real experience. It's not a system of belief. It's not a way to live. It's a life-changing experience through Christ himself. I want to simply tonight, as I finish, I want to invite you tonight to come and trust in Jesus Christ and meet Him. Meet Him. You can meet Him tonight. This is simple. And I don't want you to think for a moment that it should be emotional. I'm not asking you tonight to make an emotional decision. I've tried to be clear. I'm not trying to make it into an emotional matter. Sometimes when people come to Christ, it's an emotional thing for them. And tears can be shed. And when we think of our sin, it would make us cry. But listen, tonight, I'm not trying to hurry you to a decision. I'm simply saying to you tonight, this is God's word. It's God's message. It's simple. It'll never change. He will never change. But your circumstances will. And you can't be sure if God has spoken to you tonight. You cannot be sure that He'll ever speak to you again. And so I urge you tonight that if He's speaking to you, young people, older folks in this meeting tonight, visitors in the meeting, if He's speaking to you tonight, don't put it off. But come tonight and receive Him as your Savior. Or come tonight and inquire and find out more and get the answers, because this book has them all. I urge you tonight to deal with this matter before you go home. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Your word. We thank Thee for all that Christ is and for all that He has done to save us. We pray that tonight You'll bless these thoughts from Your word to each person that's here. And Lord, we pray if there's one in the meeting and they're not saved, Lord, if You're speaking to hearts tonight, help individuals to close with Thee. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the blessings that You've given to us in our lives. And we pray that tonight, that this week and that this day may be sealed with salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.